Okay, let's look into the scriptures before we pray. Our place is the book of 2 Corinthians. If you would follow along all the way over to chapter 12. We'll be some in chapter 11, but mostly chapter 12. And starting with verse 1, and then we'll read we'll read down to verse 10. Boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. And I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man will I boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this, so that no one may credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, there is this little problem initially of identifying this man of whom Paul speaks. He doesn't name him, does he? Who was he? Now, almost unanimous position of the church down through the ages has been that this was the Apostle Paul himself, speaking of himself in the third person. And it's so accepted that, well, at the top of my Bible, you have the little headings over each page. The last one over this section is Paul's vision. And it's there. They feel confident enough to say that this was the apostle's experience. Well, then, why verse 2 and why verse 5? Why did he say, I know a man in Christ in verse 2? And why did he say in verse 5, on behalf of such a man will I boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses? Now, what's been going on, this whole idea of boasting here? It's interesting because Paul never lacked for a detractor, and everywhere he went, people would fall around behind him saying something along these lines. Yeah, he's got a pretty good grip of things, but he's not really a full-fledged apostle. There are just certain things lacking in the experience of this man. And so Paul has been, particularly to these Corinthians, defending himself, not because he feels an affront to himself personally, but he wants them not to undervalue him in the ministry that's been going on there. If you can discredit the messenger, what does it do for the message? It tarnishes it at the very least. And Paul is confident that he has preached to these dear people the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is clear as a bell. And he would say to them and other churches too, look, if anyone comes, and this is more like a Galatian thing, but to them he would feel the same way. If anyone comes preaching anything other than what I've laid down, just disregard it. He's false. He's false. So he is defending his ministry for their sakes. Does that make sense? It's not for his sake, it's for their sakes. He wants them to know that he has come to them in the full authority of the Lord Jesus, sent as his delegate, sent as an apostle, with apostolic authority to lay down the foundation for the church there, and that they could rest and rely upon all the truth that Paul has told them. And so he has defended himself to them. I am this, I am that, I've suffered, I am an apostle. Well, someone would then say, well, that's all well and good, but you haven't seen the Lord Jesus Christ, have you? You were not an eyewitness to his resurrection. You haven't seen the resurrected, raised Christ to testify of that glorious experience of him coming out of the grave. So, in the first letter that Paul has written to them, he says this, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? And so he is saying, oh yes, I have seen him. I have beheld him. Now, boasting is necessary. Boasting is necessary, he says, though it's not profitable. And he's going to tell us why it's not profitable. It doesn't do the man who is boasting any good. And so I think this is why he refers to himself in the third person. He is putting as much distance as he can from the superlative revelation that he has had of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you not like to know some of the things that Paul heard? I felt that way when we went through Revelation and we got to that chapter, I think it was chapter 10, and John, all of a sudden, he eats this little book and then he hears the seven peals of thunder. Oh, he's about to write that down. No, don't write it. Keep it sealed. What? That's what I say. I don't know what John said, but I think, oh, come. But then you realize that that was just for him. God gave him something encouraging just for him, for his time, for his days. Something, I don't know what was in it, but I know it was just for John. And it's a symbol that God in these last days speaks to us. Personal things. Precious things. There are things, I believe, that have gone on between you and your Lord, your soul and your God, that maybe no one knows about. And that may just be the way it's supposed to be. Something very precious, something very personal between you and God. Well, Paul goes and he says, this man was caught up into paradise, and he hears, oh, inexpressible words. So on the kind of things that a man's not allowed to relate. Oh, well, we're going there soon enough, aren't we? We'll hear them ourselves and see for ourselves. But then he says, now because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, and this is what brings it all back down. This is verse 7 of chapter 12. This is what brings it all back down to Paul, because of the surpassing revelations or the greatness of them for this reason. And Paul says, God knows me all too well. He says, to keep me from exalting myself. Let me tell you what happened to me last week. Let me share with you something that, oh, I just want to share it. And what you're saying is, I want you to appreciate me. I want you to respect me. I want you to say to God, why have you given that to him and not to me? I want the approval and the approbation of the church. And Paul says, my God knows that this would just take me away and my head would be so big it wouldn't fit to the door. To keep me from exalting myself, then there was given me something. Now, I was bringing in the trash can tonight thinking about that, and I thought, you know, it's good that he doesn't say what that thorn is. There's all kinds of guesses, but we don't know, do we? All kinds of things it could have been, but we just don't know. And what that means is you can plug your thorn into his situation and say, ah, this wasn't ruled out because it never was stated. I can equate my situation with Paul's. Paul, it's put generally for us. And so Paul is saying, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Now, you know what buffeting is, and you know what thorns are, and you know what an aggravation in the flesh is. And so you could say, well, that could be any number of 10,000 things that I could imagine. None of them good. None of them comfortable. God gave that to Paul to keep him from exalting himself. And it produced in the man a weakness, and it also produced a prayer life. Oh, God, take this away from me. Three times, Paul said. And then finally he gets his answer from the Lord Jesus, which is basically no. And this is the reason why. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, here's the point. All that is preparatory for what he's about to say. And what we want to say. This goes right along with our discussions of the great statements of faith, the great resolutions of faith, the firm convictions that a man can declare about what he believes. Now, he is not standing here before Pharaoh saying, not a hoof left behind. He is not standing before Nebuchadnezzar saying, we will not bow down. What he is standing against is something, if I could say this, oh, I wish I could say it and put it in my own heart first and then put it in yours. He is standing against something greater, someone more powerful, something more insidious. He is standing against himself. The great I. Me. This is what Paul is describing here. The one that I must preserve, the one that I've got to look after. Number one. What do they say about number one? Look out for him, right? Because why? Because no one else will. Have I got that pretty much right? But it's not right, is it? Who looks out for number one? As I understand the gospel, the Lord Jesus looks out for me. And my Heavenly Father holds me in his hand, and there's everlasting arms underneath me, and I don't have a care. If I really understand the power of God and the truth of the gospel, I don't have a care in the world. Because he knows what I need. He knows what I need before I ask it. He knows the thoughts on my heart. He knows the conditions in which I live. I don't need a thing. Now, as I walk this earth, though, I'm convinced that I do. And really what I'm more convinced about than anything is I want the respect of men. I want their approval. I want them to think great and high thoughts of me. If you forgive me from making this autobiographical, then let's do it this way. But then I think wisdom would be to turn this back and apply it to yourself, because this is why Paul shares this. Now listen, how does he say this? Verse 9, Jesus says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Then he says this, most gladly, therefore, I will. And there's his resolution. There's his firm conviction. There's, yes, it's faith expressing itself. I will boast. And another place he said, well, if you're going to boast, then boast in the Lord. And if it comes around to you, what are you boasting in? I'm boasting in my weakness. You want to hear some of it? It's just the previous chapter, chapter 11. Turn back there with me. He's just said, all right, look, I'm a Hebrew. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a descendant of Abraham. But now listen. I've been beaten times without number. I'm often in danger of death. That's verse 23. Verse 24, he says, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city. These are weaknesses, aren't they? Dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor, I've been in hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. And oh yeah, I've got this thorn. It won't work its way out. It's still there, piercing and bothering me. This weakens me. Some say, based upon what Paul wrote to the Galatians, that it was something with his eyes, that it would be something disfiguring. And who wants to stand before men with weeping eyes if that was it? Or who wants to stand before men hunched over from pain, or limp up to the pulpit, or stand in such a way that you cannot hold yourself vertical, whatever it was? Who wants that? Paul says, when this happens to me, it is a crucifixion of me, and it's a weakening of me. Now, when that happens, I start to retreat out of the picture, and Jesus steps in. And Jesus is the one who speaks, and Christ Jesus is the one who ministers, and I find that he is the one speaking through me. Oh, Paul still spoke, and Paul still ministered. Thank God he still prayed, because we could get lots of prayers to study, right? Thank God he still wrote. Oh, he may have had to borrow a scribe because he couldn't see too well. Whatever the case, thank God for it. But it was Jesus in him. It was Christ in him. And the weaker the man got, the stronger Christ was in him. You tell me, modern Christianity, do we have a real good grasp of this? Do we have a firm conviction that, like Paul, no? Like John would say, I must decrease. He must increase. I'll answer that for us. No, it's not the prevalent thought nor teaching. We have schools now that teach men how to be leaders, to teach men how to take charge, to teach men how to exert themselves and to move a congregation. And they're moved. And they're led, and they're taught. And the world around us just scratches its head, yawns. Hear again what Paul would say. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, reputation, learning, position, prestige, all of it. He suffered the loss of all of it. It was a suffering. Let's be realistic about it. But he let it go. What does he want? He wants to gain Christ. He wants to be found in him. He wants to have a righteousness, not of his own, but that which is through faith in Christ, that which comes from God on the basis of, he wants to know him. This is one of the largest subjects that is untaught and untapped in modern Christianity. If you want to know what is the weakness of the modern church, I would take us right here and say it's not lack of money, it's not lack of interest, it's not lack of people, it's lack of death, and it's lack of life. We're not dead to ourselves, we're not alive to God. We don't have the fragrance of Jesus upon us because we, all people smell is us. Lord, teach us to boast. I will. He makes it I don't think it was a once done thing for Paul. I don't think it was the kind of thing that, well, I've learned that. I've got that under my belt. I think it was an ongoing struggle and an ongoing fight and an ongoing victory for that man. Lord, teach us. Let's pray.